Good evening, everyone. Happy quarantine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Get the Fork Out. Today we have the famous, talented, slightly infamous Josh King, talented yacht chef. We became friends on Instagram, and there's a cool cool story behind that, and what's that group that he started, but we'll get into that later. How's it going, Josh? Welcome.
Thanks, man. Welcome, and thanks for, you know, showing me this beautiful area. We're in Idaho, is it? Idaho?
Just across the border, just barely in Wyoming. I'm in Jackson Hole, and it's unbelievable here. My dad's in the RV. Just waiting for me to finish this up, but it's been cool, man. It's been a rugged little road trip.
Yeah, man.
I think 1,500 miles already, and just like we both just took the day off yesterday and chilled. But where are you at? Where about you?
San Diego is my home. Just trying to get another green card, and not married to an American lady. So
yeah, awesome!
Trying to get the green card and live the dream, live the American dream in a white picket fence.
Yeah, I'm skeptical on the American dream, man. Just think of your own dream. The American dream looks a little dangerous.
Yeah, but it's not getting into it too much.
And you got a young baby too. What's boy, girl? What's
I got a little name? Girl. Yeah, she's eight and a half months now. She's
congratulations, cute. Bro. Awesome.
Yeah, man. I just got back from obviously being at work, and my wife did really good by sending videos and stuff, but like it just missed so much. It's crazy, especially like crawling, eating solids, like, you know, making omelets in the morning and that. It's just cool, man. It's cool to be back, and being back 3 days, my brain's like slowly getting back to normal. I feel like I've just done like a heavy med season charter season.
I want to talk about what you just did, and I also want to talk about, you know, your roots and where you're from food wise because I love talking to chefs about that anyway, whether it's on a podcast or not. It's fascinating. But like you're in a busy private boat. I mean, you had guests your entire rotation, right?
Yeah, so it was actually liverboard, and you know that you always get that when you go for the interview. Yeah, when you go for the interview, it's always you know, any talented solid yacht chef should be able to handle it. And I was like, okay, that's a big, and I thought about it every day, man. Every day that we went through hell, I thought about that comment. I was it's not that easy, you know, because it was full on, and it, you know, because of COVID and stuff, you know how it is. A lot of boats now are doing the liverboard thing. It's just like I went in all guns blazing, bro. The first 6 weeks, man, and I didn't actually repeat a dish for 60 something, for 6 weeks it would have been. I didn't repeat a dish, and then my brain just went, and I was like, oh shit.
it's hard, like, and then you can also, like, what I do, I've done liverboard as well, and I always quit. You know, I'm not saying you should quit, but I'm always like, this is not the lifestyle I dreamed of. This is not
I'm not far from it.
Yeah, liverboard tactic. Well, let's talk about you, man. Let's talk about what was food for you as a kid? Like, how did it turn into a career? And you know, were there apprenticeships, culinary school, restaurants? Yeah. What happened?
So, I was a bit naughty at school, the old chef thing, you know, you're a bit terror at school. Got kicked out of school, another chef that got kicked out of school. And my mum actually said, I wasn't into food when I was younger. I did like food technology, but I was just a little shit, man, an absolute little shit. And my mum just said, you got to get a job to pay rent. I was like 15, I must have been. So I actually started working at a vegan and vegetarian cafe. And, you know, just did all the bullshit, peeling potatoes, thinking I was a chef when like I'm really not. And from there, just kind of grew. You know, you start, you know, getting interested in little things. It wasn't great food or anything like that. And then from there, I was like looking online about qualifications. I remember looking at one point Derby University, and like I could become a head chef in 3 years. That's cool. When you're 15, you don't know what the hell's going on. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh wow, I can become a head chef in 3 years. And then it grew.
Such a strange age.
Yeah, went off to worked at a place called Jesmondine House, which was my first proper real restaurant. There's three rosettes, and it was like this guy called Pierre. He's actually my mentor back then, and soup from London, from the Greenhouse, I think it was, or the Glasshouse, one or the other. Super intense, and I mean, I was a little bitch. Like, I was on the larder. I was picking herbs for the pass. Like, I was smoking weed at the time, so I was getting stoned. And like, he would call me up, and it'd be like 9 a.m. and I was like, Josh, where are you? Why aren't you? He's probably pissed off that I'm trying to speak French here with a French accent. Why aren't you in the galley? Why aren't you not in the galley? In the kitchen, where are you? Come to the... And I remember like going in with one story, going in really stoned. I was like 15, 16. And I was on the meat slice we had the old Carpaccio. Oh, Carpaccio,
bro. Oh, I like the story already. Any story that starts with meat slicer, you're like, oh, it's a great bad story. Not one good story. There's not one good meat slicer story. Not one. It's always. Yeah. So what'd you get?
I'm sulking, like, cause I'm slicing this meat, like, this carpaccio. I don't want to be at work, like, fucking stroppy fat teenager. Like, and got me fucking finger, just went straight off it. And I was like, oh, man, this is the perfect reason to go home. And he wouldn't even let me go home.
This will show him. I'll get out of here.
But I'm grateful for him. Yeah, and then from there, I actually joined a course called a specialized chef's course, and that's with the Academy of Culinary Arts, which we did 4 years in London. I trained at the Royal Automobile Club, and then I left there. I did two stages in London, the livery, and then moved to Cornwall, met my daughter in the UK, who's not mum, and got pregnant at like, you know, got pregnant at like 19, really young. I was actually planning to go to Australia and venture out and do the traveling thing. And just worked and kind of tried to find, I was kind of trying to find myself, you know what I mean, as a chef. I didn't really know what level I wanted to work at, and working at Port Ainsworth at a place called Cota as well in Port Leven, and just finding myself, you know what I mean? Like, I struggled to kind
what
of...
Was that, what was that last place? I couldn't quite understand.
Cota. It's in Port Leven. The chef's actually on Great British Menu all this week, actually, funny enough.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decipher your through your accent in the places that I don't know. So it's challenging because I'm just trying to figure out, like, because I want to know, and I'm sure that people do, like, exactly what restaurant and then you know, where in the world is it?
It's all in the UK. I think where I was getting was how I was like kind of finding myself. I made some mistakes when I had my daughter, and you know, and I was young. I was growing into a man and did some stupid shit, and it kind of was trying to find myself. And that's where I joined the yachting industry around 23, 24, and coming from like a one star, you know, two star rosette, hungry, fucking arrogant as fuck, thinking I was the dog shit, and just going into a yacht. It was my first boat was this, I don't know why I didn't take it seriously, but it was super private, super like high profile, and I didn't really understand it, you know what I mean? And I went in all guns blazing, thinking I was invincible, and ended up clashing with the head chef after a year, which then totally screwed over my career, not my career, but trying to elevate myself in the yachting industry. And I was I still think I was trying to find myself and who I was, what I was about, and you know what I mean. And I did the restaurants, but I still don't think until, you know, probably about 3 years ago, I actually found myself and my style and my you know, I mean, my real kind of pizzazz, I guess, or whatever, who I am and you know, and what kind of man I am, you know what I mean? But yeah, and then, so yeah, went to the yachting industry about 23, 24, and you know, grinded it out, fought against the system that's in place, the yachting, and kind of, I always objectified about being a yachty. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be an individual, you know what I mean? And I butt a lot of heads, and if I could go back, I would love to apologize to a lot of people, you know what I mean? From when they were always trying their hardest with me to try and guide me in the right way, you know what I mean? As a sous chef in the yachting industry. And I think only now I'm actually 29 and more responsible, and you know, and kind of look back and think, actually, they were only trying their best. You know what I mean? Like, because I had good opportunities when I first came to the yachting industry, and screwed them up because I was too wanted to be at the top straight away. You know, I wanted to not listen to anybody, and just cook my food and do, you know what I mean? Which I still do that a little bit, but that's my character. And then, yeah. You know, and kind of, yeah. And I didn't understand that actually there were so many processes and SOPs that you have to put in place to run a boat. And it just takes experience, yeah. Man. Like time to drop your, you know, realize that your balls on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. you are not alone. I think a lot of us struggle. I know I did. Like I've been in the industry for 2 decades now, but I remember coming in, you know, massive goatee, 2 earrings, just from best restaurant in Boston, like killer resume in restaurants. This is long before Michelin stars came to America, but this would have, I mean, I worked at shit hot hotels and restaurants and I was the same. So the point is you're not alone. And I think it's easy for, and wrong, but it happens all the time for successful restaurant chefs with any modicum of talent to come into the industry and be like, oh, I'm going to make this my bitch. And like, oh, none of these chefs know what the fuck to do. And I'm, and it's so common. Meanwhile, there's so many cool, talented chefs in this industry. There's a lot that aren't, but there's a lot that are too, you know? And it's, it takes time to kind of gather that all in. And yeah, like you said, SOPs is a great word. Like there's certain things that really differentiate yacht chefs from restaurant chefs.
Yeah, and I think you said something there about I learned it, especially when we did this WhatsApp group, which we'll talk about, obviously you won't talk about, but just the level of yachting chef, I in my head, I was like, they have to be Michelin star. Every chef has to be Michelin star. When reality of it, man, I've done some temp gigs and I'm like, especially when I was a sous chef in the yachting industry, learning on the big boats, and it was like, God, they just want to eat peppers and fucking quinoa. Like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like and there's chefs for everybody, man. So all this, like, you know, there's a few social media accounts where they take the piss out of people's food. And it's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, there's always I'm sure there's a client who doesn't really give a shit about what kind of food he's eating, as long as it's just what he likes. It's simple.
Exactly.
It's basic. And if that chef, I tell you what, that chef's probably getting paid more than any of us. Because that boss is happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the chef is probably bored, wants to leave, tried to leave. The boss is like, no, here's some more money. And he's like, oh, fuck, all right, couscous and peppers it is. Let's do this.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do think that's common. That, I mean, it's slightly different on a charter boat, but not really. It's this industry is based around comfort food. There's fine dining elements to it, and there's fine dining owners, and there's fine dining charters. But most of it is just giving people exactly what they want and just trying to make it the best version of that thing that they've ever had. And that takes a different skill set. But you have to know food through and through and backwards and forwards. Yeah. I think the yacht chefs are weird. I think we have like very broad, shallow knowledge because we got to do Mexican theme. We got to do Japanese theme. We got to do all this stuff. But I love it. That's my most favorite part. It's like, and I get to be creative where my restaurant days, like you're banging out the same shit day in and day out for 3 months, and then hopefully they change the menu with the seasons, but not everyone does that.
No, I had a client not so long ago who actually just said to me, because I was doing like, he was on for a while, and I was started. So always the first 2 weeks when I join a boat, I always like go all out, showcase me, and then they'd go, okay, turn it down a bit. You know what I mean? So they know what they're going to get. They know what level they're going to get. You know, that's, I don't know, you probably do the same. People probably do the same, but that's kind of my go-to. I go in, all guns blazing, then they go, sometimes been on the first day, sometimes been on the third day, or they even have never said. Because
no one can eat like that every day. So they just, you just want to show off, and they're going to allow you. And then you're like, all right, let's find a neutral sort where you're not going to walk out of here 100 pounds overweight.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes to me. So I started doing it, like toned it down, and you know, he's on there for a long time. We're in remote places. So we're kind of playing through with the countries of, you know, cuisines and stuff, and kind of keep it quite simple, but just elegant, you know what I mean? And he turns around at some of the menu, like, why are you cooking pasta when you're not Italian? Why are you cooking Japanese food when you're not Japanese? I'm like, bro, I'm a yacht chef. Like, you know, like what, this is my job, mate. Like, that's why I'm on here. Like, you know what I mean? Or you can have the same thing. Yeah. If you want, I'm English, and if you want English food, bro, you're going to be over, you'll be rolling off that boat, mate. fish and chips and pies every day. I didn't understand him, but I didn't last long.
What was his response to that response? Is he like, don't do that anymore? Or?
Bro, he just thought he was the dog's bollocks. He had some restaurants and thought he was the dog's bollocks. And It was one of them. I didn't last long on that. I came home pretty efficiently after that conversation.
And sometimes it's better that way. You might as well have, like, I wouldn't say intense conversation, but a succinct one, like, it's a relationship. I mean, that's what this industry is on so many different levels. I had this really gray, wizened, Gandalf-y captain tell me about this industry is almost only based on relationships and personalities. Yeah. So you might as well, if it's going to be a clash and you can sniff out a clash, might as well be like, fuck it. It's not going to work. Yeah. Or try to make it work if there's some redeeming qualities of some sort. But yeah, I agree with you. It's just
definitely
sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't mean you're a bad chef. It's just like the right fit.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'm big now. I've established myself a little bit and confident who I am. I think that's kind of what I look for. And I always say, like, on interviews, you know, you get the whole, that question is, what kind of style of food you do or what you, and it's like, well, it's not really about that. It's about fitting in with the family, you know, and it kind of, I've been really lucky in the past with one specific job, and I got to travel the world with the family. And honestly, they kind of, that was where I found my style, you know, myself and where I wanted to go, because they allowed that. And I think there is families out there to work for where you adapt and you put extra effort in, you know what I mean? When you align, you know what I mean? And it was a good time.
What would you say your style is now? Like, if you were to, you know, put like a description on, underneath your restaurant's kind of menu, like, sentences, like, what do you think?
I think, my style, obviously, you have to, yacht chef, you have to be varied. So forgetting that, that's like, that's your job, your day job, exactly. Being able to do everything. Like, I'd probably say I really focus on kind of telling a story with the ethos of ingredients, being like, so whenever, especially I learned a lot in Mexico and South America, where I was able to go and absorb cultures or absorb techniques, or like meeting a farmer and he doesn't grow much, but that the laughing of going to this big farm and he's got like amaranth or carrots and that's it, like in that story. And then from there, my brain will work where I'll like create a dish where it just expresses what I've experienced. And it's kind of, he celebrates it. Yeah. And I'm very, when it's my food, like they want to taste my food, it's very kind of, it's a little quirky. Sometimes I put some stuff on there that it's, you know, they're a little like, oh fuck, that's a bit different. When they read it and then they eat it, they're like, oh shit, that worked. And have a bit of fun. Like when, especially with my food, I always try and have a bit of fun and a good laugh. And, you know, not everything's, when you go and eat at the best restaurants in the world, man, like I listened to your podcast earlier, you went and eat at Noma. Like, there's plenty of restaurants where you're like, wow, did that work or did that not? You know what I mean? But it's an experience. And that's what, that for me, if food's like, food's an experience. And that's definitely my style, is more like, you're going to go through a little bit of an experience and you may not like some of the dishes and you may like some of the dishes, but that's okay. You know what I mean? I want to know, especially owners, I want to know kind of what they are, but it's kind of, I'd say a little quirky. It's definitely South American inspired. You know, my wife's from Colombia, Mexico. So that's a big influence on me. Being British, like we have small family, like I've got like two, mum and dad or mum and stepdad. And that's it really. You know what I mean? Don't, like with her, she's got like, you have a family event, there's like 100 people, you know, and they're all like first distant, whatever, cousins or whatever, you know what I mean? And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And that ethos, you know, about, and how they, everything's about the dinner table, you know, and about food. And it's always someone, there's always something cooking when you go around to their parents. There's always, a mum's always making something, whether it's so simple, you know, it's still, she's doing some food for the family, you know, of some sort. And that's kind of, it's a huge, you'll see my menu, you've probably seen my menus I posted online and stuff. It's very South American inspired. It's just I love that kind of like the culture, you know, I love the music.
Are you ad-libbing from your experiences on there, but then also drawing up, because I mean, South America, Mexico in the last 10 years has kicked off in terms of fine dining. The whole world is impressed with, you know, the Amazon River basin and the countries that surround that and the chefs that surround that use that resource. Because, my brief interactions on my motorcycle trip to South America with the Amazon was like, these fruits and vegetables never seen. They look alien, and they're so intriguing yet intimidating at the same time. You're like, what the fuck is that? All right, let's eat it. Let's eat it. All right, okay. Let's discuss it. Let's eat it.
That's it. Awesome. That's like kind of where you go there, and you're like, there's so much you don't know, and it's like a big open cookbook where you like you said, the fruits. You try a fruit, and you're like, holy shit, that's a real papaya, or whoa, that's like, you know what I mean? You're like, that's what it is. Because in the UK, man, we have apples, bananas.
I was going to say, there's no apples down there. You will not see an apple down there. Negative. Not even an orange. No need. You know what I mean?
And so you have super basic fruits and veggies, and then you go to somewhere like that, and I'm like, my mind just goes. And it just goes like 100 miles an hour. And my wife actually has to calm me down sometimes, you know?
Why? What are you trying to do? And she's like, nah, hold back. Just eat out all the time? Like, just buy farmer's markets?
Not so much that, but when I'm at work, because my brain's going creativity-wise, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a pop-up when I get back, or I'm going to do this when I get back. And she's like, let's just get back and take a breathe. And then I get back, and I'm like, shit, I'm exhausted. we work
that's
pretty well.
Awesome,
on that,
man. That's a good sign of like a passionate artist where just like, be damned with everything else. I'm going this way. Don't care. Go that way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's cool. I miss South America a lot. The motorcycle trip is great, but it kind of limits me in terms of like, once I passed it, I don't want to go back until I finish it. And it's been like 14 years now. It's like, I want to revisit some places for sure. But South America and the Amazon, I didn't get a chance to do Brazil too. That food show, it drives me nuts. It's not a good one. Better Feed Phil. Oh, guy's a weirdo.
Oh, mate, I started watching that. I love that. But he irritates the shit out of me.
His smile is so cheap. His smile is like this.
Yeah, he's a dirty old man. I hate the way he like puts his hand when he's like hugging women and shit. It fucking irritates me. He's like an old pervert, man.
The only reason I bring that weirdo up is that his episode on it was Rio or São Paulo, I forget, but the food was just like the apex of what we just talked about, like the apex of the centuries of knowledge of Amazonian basin food. You're like, oh man, I never would have thought that was dirty. Yeah. Like, that's so good. So I was like, the only redeeming quality of that show. I think you did both. You might have done Rio and São Paulo, I forget. I didn't know São Paulo was like twice the size. São Paulo is way bigger than Rio.
I've never been to Brazil, man. I would love to go. It's definitely one place.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't. I had some questions written down for you. So we covered where you're from.
Yeah.
We covered like where you are now. And then naturally what the future is. But I think let's talk about that chef's group that you started. I think that's a good that's a long topic. We can talk about that for a while because it's got levels and layers. So where did that come from? Where did you get that idea?
I was on trip and Sam, was it Sam? I think it was. He was looking for a chef, so I hooked him up with someone on a WhatsApp group, and I was like, oh, hang on a minute, why don't I just add a bunch of chefs in a group without their consent? And just see where it goes.
I guess they will.
I just straight up added like James, Dean, Sam, and just like added a bunch of people and like put them all as admin and went, there you go. And then like then someone, I think, I can't remember who posted it, Nina or someone posted it, and indeed, and all of a sudden it was like in 12 minutes, man, there was like 100 or I think it was like 96 people had joined. I was like, what the fuck? And then someone said, oh, be careful, because there's a certain limit on WhatsApp. And I was like, oh, shit, really? And I was like, oh, yeah, well, there you go. So, but then it's kind of exclusive, you know? It's great. There's good banter on there. I've been forefront of some banter myself. You know what I mean? So it's good to...
As have I. It's good fun.
It's what's really nice is that at the start, where there was a bunch of green chefs, who entered it, and just kind of, there was a lot of people on there who helped them out and didn't patronize them in any way. And I feel like sometimes you get a lot of idiots, dickheads on Facebook who sit behind a, you know, a bit of a keyboard warrior and sit in comment. And actually, you know, I was actually listening to your mate, Darren, about how he went to Antibes, and I did exactly the same. And I had £300. I got a flight to Nice from London for £12. Got there, had £300 in my pocket. suitcase, chef knives, and I was like dock walking looking for a deckhand job. Because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Anything.
You know what I mean? Like, and I was just staying at the crew house, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, oh, have you got any, can I wash the boat, mate? Just so I can get to the galley. But now, because we've got that group, you know, people are going to invest some time in people, and you never know what's on the corner if, you know, if we're on a bigger boat and you need extra chefs or whatever. And it's a great, it's a great tool. And you get to know them already, you know. It's, that's always the awkward thing is you don't know someone's personality in the yachting industry until they come on, because you know, you're living with them 24/7. So at least you get to know the person. And also, I, like I said earlier, I said I wanted to see what jobs were out there. So, you never know. So I wanted to be the first one.
Like, I like what it's become, which, and it's become, I mean, it's a go-to resource for all of us. And I check in probably like twice a day on it, whether they're shit talking or just some of the heavy hitters in the industry, like post cool recipes and ideas. And I like that it's not bitter. It's not mean. It's like, it needs to be, I think it has to be, and it is now already. It's like, just anyone can speak up, whatever. You're looking for whatever job, or you have any questions, like, that's much more productive for all of us.
Yeah.
Even the gray ones as well. If we just kind of help each other out and communicate, you just never know. Like, you can have this amazing, like, super talent, but he's looking for a 30 meter. And if you get one of these bitter assholes talking shit to him, it's going to turn that person off. And it's like, you just don't know who you're talking to out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's definitely part of what's happened, like starting this podcast and my YouTube channel, is that and also with your group, is that we're kind of beacons to the greenies. And I've said this before on different podcasts, and that's our role, man. It's to help them out a little bit, rather than just being that, ah, fuck them, no one helped me. It's like bullshit.
Yeah.
Someone always gives you a hand as you're coming up, and they still will. So that group's, it's just a great resource, man. It's a good idea.
I really tried as well to kind of, for the people who are starting out in the industry, and it was kind of, I did it the other day. I made a little post where it was a little bit more kind of wear my heart on my sleeve, like asking for advice, because I wanted them not to just think. I think that's one of the key sometimes with the divide between chefs that come into the industry and the senior chefs, is to try and gel them together rather than have a separation. So when the restaurant chefs come in, they don't come in all guns blazing like I did or you did. And they come in and go, actually, I've got a good idea of what it's like. And I respect the guy who's been in the industry a lot longer, because there is shit I need to know. And I think that's kind of what I did the other day. And I was like, look, like, I'm not perfect, but I need some help with this bit, you know, own kind of like, so it's kind of, I wanted to be the forefront of just someone who constantly has his image on the social media, but then is open to just being like, actually, I'm not fucking amazing. You know what I mean? I still need a little bit of help. And that's kind of, I think, is what's the word? Letting the guard down. And I think it stops a lot of people.
You need a bit of wisdom to realize how important that is.
Yeah, and especially emotionally, I myself gone through some personal, like, mental stuff in the past couple of years, and being away from my family is a huge one. And I think having a group on there where, you know, some people have messaged me out on the group and said, hey, like, you know, I'm going through this at the minute. And I'm like, fuck, that's really cool, man. You know, I've been... And I really appreciate, you know, that's, and it's conversations go on there that you wouldn't know, because people have found this person and gone, oh, actually, this person looks like someone I get along with. So it's also, you know, for me, it's a big, especially now, you know, in the restaurant industry, there's a big project going on in the UK called Burnt Chef Project for chefs who are burnt out, and your chefs do get burnt out also, even though, you know, we show the life of luxury all the time. You know, a lot of chefs go through a lot of stuff, and sometimes alcohol is the biggest reach on the boats, you know what I mean, because it's so easy accessible, I think. And just having the group there for a safe space, you know, and that's why we don't let any agents in there. Sorry.
And only a select few provisioners as well, like Ghost and Dennis, and there's a couple more I might add, but
it's supposed to specialize.
They're such amazing points of information. Like, they have, imagine having access to, like, I don't know how many clients they have at a time, let's say 30, but all these chefs, maybe 15 of them are ordering the same basic shit, and maybe five of them are just going out there. And then whoever has to source those ingredients. And then, like you said, telling a story, like those ingredients that come for a certain reason from these places that are so special and so unique, and you get to tell that story on the side. So I'm all for provisioners staying in there. And I might add a couple, because there's other talented ones that I use too, that, and they know their shit. There's one in Barcelona, and there's one in France.
Yeah, or Sabor.
Sabor, and that's Paul. I think his last name is Healy. He was he used to work at a one Michelin star. And then there's my friend Hannah through Ocean Pantry. Like,
oh yeah,
she she just knows her shit. And like, I've been like back to back charters on Magumbo, and she's like, that's your right hand man. Like, that she's the one. Yeah. Like, she's up till 2 a.m. trying to find guest requests for you. You know, like that. She's trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out all the shit. Imagine if you had to like deal with shipping and customs and that trying to get your food. We don't have time before, to whoever tells me how to do it myself, whether it's a captain, I'm like, fuck off. We're getting this provisioner. There's none of this shit. You want me at the stoves. You want me at the stoves, bro. You don't want me on the phone.
Yeah.
It's funny. But back to the mental health shit. Like, it is really stressful what we do. Like, it's stressful in a restaurant, I know, but there's usually a little bit more time off in a restaurant. It's quite hectic, man. There's a lot of stress, and it's all on you. And you're doing everything. You're cleaning the corners of the walk-in. You're cleaning out drains all the way up to, and getting there. You're trying to source ingredients. You're trying to make sure you have a full walk-in and it stays full and everything stays rotated and nice. And you're doing that with one other guy or two other guys or girls. And then, all the way up to actually serving this food, it's just from top to bottom. I think it's a lot different than the restaurant industry.
It's a lot different, man. And it's not, as I've got older, I've come to appreciate the industry a lot more and what it gives. But I wouldn't go back to restaurants on a full-time basis just because I love the industry now. But it's just different. Like, you can't, like, for me, like, if I did what did I just do, like 6-7 weeks straight without a day off in a restaurant, I'd be shooting myself, mate. And I just did it.
Like, why? I'm like, complaining. What? Like, what? I need a day off. Like, someone's coming in, let's hire someone else. And meanwhile, you can't change your circumstances.
Yeah, I walked off into the to the airport, and I was like,
yeah, I know the feeling, man. I know the feeling. I did an 8-week charter last year, and talk about monotony, bro. Well, I'm walking into a 10-week charter when I go back, so my high level mark is gonna get raised by 2 weeks. But they wanted the same food lunch and dinner every day. The same food. I'll tell you right now, steamed rice. Julienne veggies, whatever I could find. It was also when COVID first kicked off, so I was in the Antigua, so we couldn't get shit, but
yeah,
whatever. So the avocado, green peppers, celery, tomatoes, cucumbers, and it was like 5 kids, 2 adults, and then New York strip, the steamed rice, like I said. I think that was it, bro. Like, some steamed veggies. So there was raw veggies and steamed veggies. So I just chuck a huge amount of little tiny bowls of veggies out, both steamed and raw.
Yeah.
Steamed rice and New York strip. No sauce, no nothing. We don't really like sauce. And it was just like, but it became a lifestyle. But that's where I started those cooking videos, because I had extra time. Like, I can't complain. It was like, you start work at 7, you have a 2-hour break, you don't work at 7. Like, it's 8 weeks, but it's not. Imagine if it was like 18-hour days.
Bro, my the very first boat I went on was just under 100 meters, and we were at anchor in Italy, and we just had the little girl on, and she would have Kobe beef, tiny little steak, steamed broccoli, steamed noodles, and that was my welcoming to the yachting industry for like 6 months, mate. And like, I was like, this is sick.
Yeah. I'm a show pony. I want to show off here. Like, I don't get to show off.
I was like that, man. I was so hot headed. Like, oh God, I wish I could go back and just appreciate that now.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, well, that's what, I mean, you touched on earlier. Like, I don't think you need to apologize to anyone. Just be successful. And you are. So that's it.
I think, not apologize, but just, there's a few friendships in that, you know, I made some mistakes and there's a few friendships I wish I kind of kept on the hook rather than just being young and naive and saying I didn't need that anymore. But that was like all throughout my life when I was young, man. I was just growing and trying to understand what and where I was going, you know. I pass it on now to my sous chefs. Like I had a great sous chef just now, and he's one of the hardest workers. He made me feel old though, and I'm only 29, man. He's 22. He wouldn't drink in coffee, and he's done 200 odd days straight, and he doesn't drink coffee, and he just looks fresh every morning. And I'm like, I'm on like 8 weeks, and I'm like,
those long trips, man. Those long trips, they wear on you. They can be. There's the monotony of it all. You know, it's yeah. 10 weeks coming up. I should do a before and after.
Do it.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to do these podcasts when I'm on there, so I gotta double check. Might be one of the last few. Yeah, we'll see what the privacy shit is. It's a weird one because you don't want the guests to be like stumble upon your YouTube channel and be like, oh, motherfucker's got time to do podcasts.
Oh yeah, that's true.
we'll see what the captain says. But
I was actually thinking you should do a big big chefs one, like a general one, because you do them on Zoom, and have a bunch of chefs just having a beer and talking it out. Oh, and, you
that's
know,
a
like
great a, idea.
Like 20 of us, or I don't know, 10 or 8, I don't know, enough to like have a good conversation or something. And
how do you control the conversation, though? We each got to be respectful and not interrupt, but it's hard because everyone wants to say something.
Well, it's hard for me. I have questions. You're like mastermind, you know. You're gonna be the old.
And I can mute people. Now you're done. Question and answer. Next question. I love it. Yeah, that'd be fucking hilarious. Let's do that. That'd be hilarious. It'd be so good. And everyone has to have a beer, unless you're in recovery, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. And I think it's just chill out. Oh, a little butterfly went by. God, I love the national parks in America. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. We're gonna go see bison. Oh, there's a couple birds fighting up there. We're going to go see bison and elk.
You're like a cat with a goldfish, mate.
focus, podcast, Brendan, podcast. All right, so let's get to that fun question. You've committed a horrible crime, yet it was for the people. It was done with the right motive, but you committed a felony, an atrocious act. Sentenced to death. You can have two other dinner guests, but you have a time machine. So you have two other people, and then who cooks the food? Like, and they can't be friends or family because that just gets sticky. And then what chef cooks the food? So who would you invite, and who would cook the food? I guess that took forever to get out of my mouth.
Do they have to be chefs, or can they be?
No, anybody. But you need to just pick a chef from any time period as well that you'd be. Right, let's have my last meal before I get axed.
Oh God, fuck. What would be? Who would it be? Who would I want to spend my time with? My last meal. I'm gonna say because my wife's over there sitting on the sofa. Cardi B.
No. Go with it. Yeah. All right. Cardi B. I barely know who that is.
But who would it be and who I don't know. That's a hard one. It would have to be like someone, Einstein, just to really see if he was really that clever. And also, I've just been in the Galapagos, and what really frustrated me was who's the guy? Darwin. I'd like to meet him too. And just to see, you know, what he was really like. Because I spent, I had like 24 hours in the Galapagos, and I went just like the restrictions there, and just like how they live on the land of the animals, and the animals don't live on the land of the humans, is really interesting. And I would love to see what he was like, and did he follow what they've implemented now? Because I doubt a guy who come and got an island didn't abuse something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's definitely.
Nobody know that all that shit carried on for almost 2 centuries. Like,
that's
pretty epic.
Yeah.
All right. So you got Einstein, you got Darwin. Who's cooking the food? Which chef? Any time period?
Oh, Scott here. Has to be a Scott here, man.
Right.
Yeah, it has to be, bro.
That's French food was. Let's see. I like that.
Just so I can see what the real classicals really tasted like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
More than 100 years down the line, like, they've been bastardized. It's like the Bible. It's been rewritten. Reinterpreted.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think the hard thing about this conversation to have is, like, I think Einstein and Darwin would be so keen on the future and, like, they'd be peppering you with questions. Like,
I know.
That would be such a struggle for them. What a horrible place to be in. Because I know if I was invited to a dinner like that, I'd be like, well, what's happening now? What's the story of humanity? Tell me what happened.
Who would you pick? You know, it's like,
Who would you pick? I got to go with, I want Sweet Baby Jesus. Nah, just kidding. Full grown Jesus. for sure. And part of that is I want to be like, well, there's levels here, because, like, if he is the son of God, I'm not saying that he is, but maybe he can get me out of this execution. But then also he'd be very, very, very interesting to talk to. And then who was the other one? God, I had two good ones lined up. I think maybe it'd be Hitler. I think I'd chuck Hitler across from Jesus Christ and just see, what would happen. And I think just for modern day Escoffier, I'd want the Adria brothers. I think it'd have to be for me to be the Adria brothers, just to be like, because I've met Albert a couple times. Mm-hmm. I've never ate a bully, but I think, like, just an epic meal from those two, which I don't think will ever happen again. And I think they are the Escoffiers of our future. I think Escoffier gets kind of left in the dust with a lot of things, the changes that we've seen. But Escoffier was my second choice for sure, because I'm like, I want to meet the dude. I want to hear all about this legendary figure.
Well, mate, there's like recipes, like, in the book that they're in French, the original ones. When I was an apprentice, I did a dinner for 100 years, so it's nearly 100, must be 115 years, because I've been cooking for nearly 15 years now. And it's like that he was using, he did something which is which was at the time was the trend, but he was doing it back then. And I was like, it just shows you, man, like, he was doing stuff that we've been doing, obviously to a certain extent, not now, because obviously we've got, you know, equipment, etc. But when it was, you know, all the foams, all the this kind of stuff, when it was in trend, like back when I was an apprentice, that was like, he had already been doing that in this guy. And it's in the his book. It's like, wow, God, that's crazy. Like, was he that far ahead, or we are just cycling through trends? You know what I mean? That's kind of what makes
good.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good question. Mm-hmm. One of the ideas that I just had while you're talking is, like, I think someone like Escoffier, and I think someone like the Adria brothers, they only come from, I won't say like conquering food as it is, but that confidence and the freedom and the fearlessness to innovate. That's what propels food. You know, that's what Escoffier was, and that's what French food was back then, but it's not now. You know, there's a huge difference. Same with Italian food, whereas Spanish food, because of Ferran and Albert, have you know, it's and also and the other countries, including the UK, America, and Scandinavia, and the whole world that they've influenced, and in South America as well, they've taught people to be courageous. They've taught people to, like, they've shown another way. And I just think that's the epitome of, like, passion and comfortability and proficiency at your craft, to then have the fearlessness of, like, wow, I'm fucking going here now, because I think it'll be good. I'm pretty sure it'll be good. Let's try it.
Yeah.
And then to have the courage to put it on a plate and then charge someone for it, and then just, like, I hope you like it. You know, rather than living in this shivering, dark fear of, like, oh, I hope Escoffier doesn't get mad that I change his recipe. It's like, no, man. Go forward.
Yeah.
It's always changing. And that's the best thing about food. You'll never gonna know it all. And it connects you with so much shit. It connects you with geography, geopolitical climates of centuries gone by or current. All these cultural influences, languages, and then the migrations of humans and beasts. Awesome, man. I love it. I've learned so much. I've been cooking for 30 years. I've learned so much shit. Plus the motorcycle trip. But anyway, let's not talk about it.
Man,
I can't believe it. 16.
I can't believe you're that old, bro. You don't look that old,
I
mate.
I know. It's going to happen. It'll be a 5-year span. I'll be like, holy shit, Brendan really fell off the edge. Jeez, that's ancient.
That's awesome.
I get it from my dad. Like, all those videos I'm posting now, man, everyone's like, I thought that was you. You aged 30 years.
You're still being the yacht industry, mate.
Imagine. I'll either be like on some like 220 meter or on like happily on like a 60 meter, but like, oh, it's so just the size.
You'd be on a 20 meter in Biot or something.
Never leave. Just like this hermit. Just this weird, like one of like the strange wizards from Lord of the Rings. You're not quite the hero wizard, just this weird one that peers out from the corners. Like that brown guy, somebody the brown.
Like those little fishing boats in Monaco that when the Grand Prix is on and they're like, they've got some obligation of being there for some reason. They're like all these scooby yachts and this is like this tiny little fishing boat.
Do you remember the weird one in IYCA at the corner? So you're like, if you're on the end and you're coming around and there's that bend, there was this, it looked like a handmade boat and it was a really weird shape and it had this like mast that was like, you know, two masts like stuck together and then like put on like that. Do you remember that? I haven't seen it in like 4 years. The guy was so sketch. Yeah, really weird hermit. So that's my future, perhaps.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. Still podcasting. Yeah, motorbikes on the bow.
You'd be podcasting my daughter because she's a chef on a yacht.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Oh, man. The years fly by, but like you said before, the appreciation for this industry is intense. Like it's afforded me like disposable income, time to go do cool shit, to learn or to grow or just
that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest one for me is time, man. Like and just having a wife and a kid, two kids. It's just having the time to be able to when you have time off, you're not like worrying about money or working. You know what I mean? You still have a little play or work or whatever, but you're not having to like the stress and you can actually enjoy your time and figure real life stuff out. You know what I mean? That you should be doing when you're not at home. And I think that's the time is the biggest thing, man, because it does pass. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know where my yachting career has gone. I still think I've only been it for 3 years. And then like every time I speak to someone, they're like, what? It was like 7 years ago? What?
I feel the same. It goes quick. But like what time is really the only unit that matters. Like it's not Bitcoin or cash or it's like time is that's like I came up with this a long time ago. Like, well, I heard it from somewhere. I'm not going to take credit for it. I don't really care. But, you know, it's the most important unit you have. And how much do you sell? How much do you sell it for? You know, what are you going to do for work? Yeah. How passionate are you about that work? And can that time invested in buy you some more time?
Yeah.
Or you just skint your whole life, like trying to stay above water like this. Like, so, you know, and I think that's what happens a lot in the restaurant industry too, is you just stay skint your whole life. And it's not easy. It's not easy to claw your way out of an industry that doesn't pay you very well.
Yeah.
Unless you get to the top dog and the burnout, it's a hard pyramid to climb to get to that top. I felt like when I was in restaurants, I did not know or meet a lot of happy restaurant chefs whatsoever. No. Drug, alcohol, divorces. That's what I saw. I was like, I'm going to pass.
In the yachting industry, give me exercise, bro, and being able to like, just because you're around people who are so fit all the time, that you're like, especially the deckhands and the stewardesses, and you're just like, God, you can't be that fat, lazy chef who's drinking all the time, because at the end of the day, the crew aren't like that, and you've got to match what you know, and they want to eat healthy. Yeah. And you guess now, like since I came to California, my food's changed again because of my lifestyle. You know what I mean? I train CrossFit and Olympic lifting, and I'm still trying to get my diet in order and what works for me when we're being at work and also being at home. But like the yachting industry opened my eyes to exercise, man. Like, and it's like for me, I put as much energy and kind of got blinkers on when I do exercise or CrossFit to when I used to party, you know what I mean? Because you just go, I disappear for 4 or 5 days and everything around me, and then I'd wake up and go, oh shit, I've got so much to sort out now, I've just screwed everything up.
You went into like a time machine and disappeared, and then you come back like 4 days later, you're like, oh wow, Everything's a mess around me. But I think you said your food has changed since you came to California, but like, I firmly believe your food should always change. You know, it should always be influenced. It's going to be, it's awesome what hits you over the side of the head. You're just like, where did that come from? That's just crazy. Oh, I learned that from there. Like, I learned that from that experience.
I did that tasting menu, the 10 course one, 10, 11 courses. And the dishes I've done over and over again, and I kind of like trying to perfect a few elements and just get better at some of the dishes and, you know, and grow and establish them and figure out how to do it in constraints, you know what I mean? And different scenarios, and every scenario I've done, every time I've done in one of those dishes has been a different yacht or a different environment, you know, whether it's at home or on a boat or mansion or whatever, jet, whatever, you know what I mean? It's always been different environments. So it was, for me, it was when I finally just came back from when I did the menu, I was like, holy shit, where did all those dishes come from? You know, where did I actually, all those dishes are individual and unique to me. They might be copies or relevant to food restaurants I've been to or, you know, stuff like that. But it's unique to me, you know, and when I've done it, it's got its own style, its own quirkiness, its own unique presence, you know. And I kind of stepped back, I was like, gosh, shit, it's really amazing how I've come across to be able to develop this menu, which I think represents me as a person and as a cook, you know.
Well, I remember you posted that menu. I'm gonna take a longer look at it after having this this great interview with you. Like, I think that's when you talk, I guess all the guests too, they remind me of certain things about, because we're chefs talking. And like, I remember when I first left, I left this restaurant Biba to join Yachting, like best restaurant in Boston. Like Lydia Shires, just this famous ass chef, like first real big female chef on the scene in Boston. Julia Child's personal friend, like she was just banging, and it was like the menu was like American eclectic, what they call it. So like, we had a tandoori oven, we had a pizza oven, the bread basket was focaccia, naan bread, and sourdough. Like it was like, no, and she traveled her ass off. So that's where, that was a connection. One of the connections to travel with me was her. I was like, no, you got to go there. You can't do a dumb American interpretation of a curry. You got to go to India, or you got to go to Thailand. You have to get it from the source. So I stole a shitload of dishes when I first got in the industry. Like, that was it. I was like regurgitating stuff that I cooked for a couple of years, day in and day out. And then now, and I'll get to back to you in a second. And now, like, I've just sniped off the things that I want. They're just techniques that I take. The combinations are different. But I think with that menu that you did, like I said, I'll take a longer look at it, is like you have a personal timeline inside each dish where this is where it came from, this aspect of it, and this aspect. And it's like, it's you.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a really cool, what is it like? Someone says it like almost like Picasso. It's like, dumb people imitate, artists steal. It's something like that, where it's just fucking take it, make it your own.
Yeah,
you know, nothing, and it's what chefs do. It's just what we do.
And it's food, man. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a crime.
Everything we do turns to shit anyway. So you might as well just take it. Like prove I stole it.
It's gone. Especially in the industry, like if you do long, like let's say I just talk about the Liverpool situation. We were like, that's a lot of menus, man. And you've got to be creative. So you're constantly on social media. You're constantly on Google. Like, you know, that guy on the WhatsApp group put in that, all those PDFs. Like, some MOOCs were great. Some MOOCs were not. Reading them. And it was like, there was like 100 books on there. And I was like, shit, man.
That should be a stickies on that thread. Just so everyone knows that resource is on there. Yeah. I know where it is. Yeah. I saved it. So if we ever need, I think it should get posted once a week. Like, don't forget, there's like 10 grand of cookbooks right here. Like,
Well, Mikhail actually has a shit ton of books. When we worked together, and
you guys worked together.
Yeah, that's how we met years ago. That's how we got became best friends. Like, just through, I went and helped him out, and then we ended up doing this virtual pop up. On social media, on the boat, and we would do like dishes for people on social media. Like, it was a virtual pop up. It was pretty cool. It was good. That's where my followers pretty much came from. A little bit before that as well. And we did this for we you know, a little bit of promotion from Justine as well, and just kind of like, yeah, just banged out some banging food, man. It was good fun. It was real good fun. We tried to do it again, but it just flopped because we weren't actually together. We were on different separate boats. You know what I mean? But yeah, we met, but he introduced me to this guy in New York where you send your books off, and they cut off the binds, they get rid of them, but they scan them on PDF. Mate, I think Mikkel's portfolio of books on there is just outrageous, man. Every time I see him, I'm like, update me, mate.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and do you get your books back?
No.
No, they're gone.
They're gone, yeah.
Well, that's why I buy ebooks now, because most chefs, not all, and then if you go back in time a ways, of course not, but you can get ebooks.
Yeah. And there's actually a really good, I think Nina had it on her social media. It was like have you seen that paper? It's like a paper.
Remarkable.
Yeah, man. That's like remarkable. Insane.
Banging. I know. I've looked down the barrel of buying that like three times. Like, am I going to fucking use this, or is this another waste of money? Like, I'm getting there though, because it's so cool.
Yeah, how much do they cost? Because we're not sponsored by them or anything, but
I don't know. I think it's like $300 bucks. I think they're simple. Like, you can't get distracting while you use it. There's only a way to share from it, I think.
Right.
There's no browser, no email.
Yeah. It's not an iPad.
But yeah, it looks dope. I watched a couple. Whenever I research stuff, as everyone else, I just go to YouTube and I just watch people use it. I'm like, oh man, that's banging. I might grab it because I'm not a real. I don't really draw food that much, but I should. I used to. But it'd just be a good way to communicate with your second chef as well. Just like, hey, what do you think? You want to do this later?
That was a good thing with old mate on that sous chef. He was just young, and it reminded me of myself, man. And I really took everything I learned from my old head chefs. Like, it was my opportunity to hand it down. You know what I mean? I really enjoyed it to be able to hand down the old the baton. You know what I mean? Like, because I learned certain things from the head chefs who are like the goats of the industry, who I would call them the goats of the industry. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they pass it down to me and how to people manage. That's the biggest thing on the big boats. You know what I mean? It's not about cooking, bro. You could just spend half your time on the computer. It's it's about managing guests from people. And the chefs I worked with were definitely that, like definitely. And it's great to be able to pass the baton down, which I've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years now. But it's really kind of, doing its thing now. Yeah, good to get some good stuff.
And it's like, that just helps out the cause, like, just there's a lot of bitter chefs out there. There's a lot of people that don't want to share recipes, that don't want to share techniques. And a lot of that bitterness, I think, comes like a defense mechanism. It just comes from fear of exposing yourself emotionally. Like, we all fear that. We all have that in our life anyway, but I just like leave the youngins, like build them up,
exactly.
Try to be a bit of a mentor if you can. It's like, it's a gift to be a mentor.
I think for you guys, like you've been in shit a lot longer than me, but for you, it's like you guys who've been in shit a lot longer, like, that it really intrigued me about that Darren guy. I've heard of him, it just being like, he's been in the industry for a while, but he's on, that program he's on. And just like, it would be great to see how he does it. Just
because,
because it's such, when you get to like a senior level, you kind of like, okay, that's why it's, the big boats are fun, because it's totally different aspect to how to do a 60 meter, 70 meter, 140 meters different. You know what I mean? And it's more to learn. And I think it's great for especially the older guys who do usually get the bigger boats, because they've got great connections and great references from the top captains and stuff. It's good for them to be able to pass the information down. And I think especially the WhatsApp group is gelling the new guys, myself, who are in the middle of growing to become a good yacht chef, and then also the old, like yourself and obviously Darren, and there's a fair few guys who have been in it who aren't on social media, because you branched out. But there's a lot of good chefs who aren't on one of my mentors in the yachting industry. He's not on, he's only just got social media really. And he's as big boat chefs go, like head chefs, man, owner chefs. He's still behind on the social media. He still thinks that nobody can know what boat you can work on and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you give me a, you give me a really good idea. I think Darren would be keen, but maybe your friend will do it too. Just to do have Darren just break down his organization. The problem with Darren is that it's a real NDA secret vote.
Yeah.
So yeah, he won't be the one to be able to do it. Maybe none of these guys can, to be honest. But
yeah, that's the thing with the big bigot with a lot and the huge boats in it. There's such tight.
I'd love it. And like I we all have access to Darren through that group anyway, but it'd be so cool just to like sit down with him with a few beers and be like, how do you organize? And like, I can't say numbers.
Yeah.
I can't get into it, but how do you organize this amount of this and this? Cause I don't have to in my career. And let's talk us through it. Like, I'd love that.
Even just doing an FAQ or F whatever it is, like questions and Q&A, sorry. With, you know what I mean, for the younger guys, like there's a good group of guys who are younger in there, and just give them a scope of the potential of what's out there, you know what I mean? And because the big jobs like that are hard to, you've got your thumb in it, your finger in the pie for that, but they're hard to come by. And me, I'm working towards that. You know, that's my goal, is to become that kind of, to be up there, you know, and run something like that, you know, because it's
my experiences up there have been like, I remember you told me over the phone, like you haven't had like great charter experience. My experience has been bad with the same captain. Like, it's just like, I've been fired twice in 20 years, both by the same dude. And so like,
what?
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. It's my fault for trusting him again. and it's just like, and then, but it's my fault. I take ownership of that shit rather than blame someone else. It's fucking.
Oh yeah, man. We've all been there.
Exactly. So like, you learn more from a loss than you do from a win. Definitely.
Yeah.
Chuck D from Public Enemy. I might get this tattoo because I googled it once and I didn't find like anyone else said it. But he's like, never let a win go to your head or a loss to your heart. And it's fucking. That's some of the best advice in the world, right there.
Bro, I've lost. I've learned the most from jobs that didn't work out. 100%, man. Like, I've done longevity is not my my best kind of on my resume, but I've been fantastic boats. But I don't see that as a downfall, and I wanted to express that actually, like, not to it was such a that old school. Oh, you must be on a boat for 4 years, 5 years. That's, and it's like, well, as a chef, man, like, unless you're starging, or like, I would never be the chef I am today if I didn't fight my way up into being at the top of a head chef at such a young age and such a big boat. Or, you know, if I didn't do that, and then from that opportunity, I got to be in certain places and I had to adapt and bullshit my way to the top, you know, to be able to get to learn and learn fast. And I made some mistakes.
Yeah.
I made some bad judgment calls, but I learned from that, and now I'm much better at where, because instead of staying in a position for 4 years, I've not really experienced anything. I've been under someone, or I've been in working for the same owner for that long. It has its pros and cons, you know. Resume, I think longevity works a lot, but you know, if that's your personality, a lot of times I get the right jobs and they don't really give a shit. You know, I mean, I haven't been on a boat for 4 or 5 years, and it's kind of. It's finding that balance, and I've always wanted to express that to people coming in the industry. It's not, don't worry, the industry's changing, I think, on recruitment side.
Yeah.
And I think, especially now, you don't really need agents, not in the galley. You know what I mean? You've got too many tools.
Yeah. Social media is a massive tool. And to what you said before about just kind of like, I think someone posted on the group about, you know, should I step up to the 70, 80 meter? It's like, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
There's no, you're only holding yourself back, and go fall on your face and pick yourself up, dust you off, try again, learn, get better, learn. But to stay in that smaller range or range, I don't really care about, but like, if you want it, just pull the trigger, man. Just go for it.
And if you
don't worry if you fail.
Fired. If you haven't been fired in the yacht industry, you're not a yacht chef.
I'm rolling through all the talented motherfuckers in my head right now. I'm like, yep, they got axed once. Yep, that guy twice. The reason is that we're creatives, and we catch a lot of shit from that, from captains and engineers. Oh, fucking chefs. Blah, 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 blah. they still love and respect us, but yeah, we're quirky. We're creatives. We don't fit in this regimented mold, and we don't have to. We don't want to. So yeah. After a year or two, it's like, I'm out. I'm getting another job. I'm bored of shit here. Like I didn't become a chef to cook the same shit day in and day out. I want to be creative. I want to learn. I want to grow.
Yeah,
I think that's why we're the weird ones. I mean, everyone gets fired, nodding, even captains on down. But
I think the thing is as well is that you've got to remember we're working for owners, and clients are just like changing their mind all the time. So their diet's changing all the time. 90% of them do that, and sometimes you don't accommodate that because you can't physically. Or mentally, and that doesn't work out. Maybe when I got fired, when I first started the industry, I left on bad terms. But once I learned that, it's like every time now you leave on good terms. You know what I mean? It's not it's not a big deal, man. Sometimes you part ways for good reasons, and it's
no one's perfect.
Yeah,
none of this shit comes with an owner's manual that you're supposed to read and adhere to. It's just all like. Let's see if it works, do the best we can with this, but dude, there's so much more we can talk about, but I try to keep these around an hour. Love to have you on again, or I love your idea of getting a group together and a bunch of a bunch of guys and girls drinking beer, talking shit, exchanging stories, and a cast of characters, like all ranges of size boats. But I'm going to do a shout out here with you, but like any ideas, like you mentioned those people in the Galapagos that might be interesting podcast guests. If you think of anyone, and I can post in the group too, like just people inside food and inside yachting. Doesn't have to be necessarily inside yachting. Lean more towards food, because we can all relate to that. Yeah. And if anyone has ideas, post them in the comments as well.
Yeah, definitely. I had a good one just before we say goodbye. It was you should get a restaurant chef on and talk about his challenges. You know what I mean? Yeah. And to that kid.
I got this. I want to do this guy in Estonia. He's half Japanese and he worked in Japan for 3 years, which is hardcore. His stories were insane. So he's and then he also worked at Favikin for a couple of years. Real high up in the top 50. Yeah. And now he runs this sounds like a step down, but if you have this food and if you appreciate food, he runs like this barbecue place in Tallinn, Estonia. Shit's dope. Everything's perfect. Everything's made there. Cool. His fiance is a baker. So it's like they do brunches and there's stuffed croissants and there's pastries and there's amazing coffee drinks and all the bread's made there. So all the sandwiches are ridiculous. And good idea. But I'm gonna lean on that group as a resource as well. Like I just think there's so much shit we can all talk about and exchange ideas and information. But thanks for coming on, man. Thanks.
My pleasure, man.
Let's do it again.
Yeah,
I look forward to having a beer with you in person one day.
Yeah, hopefully in California.
hope so, man.
Cool, bro.
All right. All right, everyone. Cheers. Thanks for joining. I hope you enjoyed Get the Fork Out.